Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Freedom of Information Act Exemptions Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 1st, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in FCC versus AT&T, a case involving the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA. FOIA requires federal agencies to make records and documents publicly available upon request, unless the materials sought fall within one or more exemptions created by the Act. One of these exemptions, Exemption 7C, applies to law enforcement records that, if disclosed, could reasonably be expected to constitute an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. The question in this case was whether corporations have personal privacy for the purposes of applying Exemption 7C. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held, by a vote of 8-0, that the personal privacy protections embodied in Exemption 7C do not extend to corporations. Justice Kagan took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. On March 7, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Milner v. Department of the Navy, another FOIA case. Milner concerns the range of FOIA Exemption 2, which shields from disclosure material related solely to the internal personnel rules and practices of an agency. The question in this case was whether Exemption 2 could be used to deny a FOIA request for data and maps used to help store explosives at a naval base in Washington State. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held by a vote of 8-1, that Exemption 2 did not shield the explosive-related data and maps from disclosure. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, Alito, and Sotomayor joined Justice Kagan's opinion. Justice Alito filed a concurring opinion. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the AT&T and Milner cases, we have Richard J. Pelt, who is a professor at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, William H. Bowen School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Peltz.
Hello, this is Rick Peltz for the University of Arkansas at Little Rock Law School, recording a podcast for the Federalist Society on two March 2011 Supreme Court decisions under the Federal Freedom of Information Act, one, Milner v. Department of Navy, and two, Federal Communications Commission v. AT&T. And Milner v. Department of Navy was decided on March 7, 2011, in an 8-1 decision in favor of Mr. Milner, per Justice Kagan, and the one being a dissent by Justice Breyer. Milner was about a naval magazine Indian Island in Puget Sound, where weapons, ammunition, and explosives are stored. The Navy was guided in the care of these materials by data called Explosive Safety Quantity Distance Data, or ESQD data, which tells essentially how far apart to keep these materials when they're being stored or transported. Glenn Milner is a Puget Sound resident, and he wanted to know the ESQD data and also to get maps that might show, for example, the scope of hypothetical explosions. Presumably, he wanted to make sure the Navy was doing its job and to find out if there were any dangerous conditions threatening him or his property at the site. The Navy invoked Exemption 2 of the federal FOIA in 5 U.S.C. Section 552. Exemption 2 refers to material that is related solely to the internal personnel, rules, and practices of an agency. Exemption 2 is rooted in the Administrative Procedure Act from before the 1966 FOIA. There's no question that Exemption 2 deals with the trivial materials in running an agency, everything maybe from the sign in an employee bathroom about washing your hands before going back to work to rules for using the office parking lot. In access jargon, this material is called Low 2, and it's usually human relations material. In the description of the court, it covers the routine matters of merely internal significance. But Exemption 2 was expanded in 1981 by a D.C. Circuit opinion called Crooker v. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And the D.C. Circuit developed coverage under Exemption 2 for material called High 2. The Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press described this sensitive Hi-2 material as, for example, law enforcement manuals and computer security codes, also the ratings of applicants for federal employment. These were items that might help a person to circumvent federal personnel rules or regulations or statutes. And under this circumvention of harm rationale, this material was read into the scope of Exemption 2. The theory was later applied repeatedly by the D.C. Circuit for 30 years, and occasionally by other circuits, though also sometimes rejected, resulting in a circuit split. The Navy withheld the ESQD data in Milner as Hi-2, and the Ninth Circuit agreed, affirming on summary judgment for the Navy. The ESQD data was, as the Navy argued, about personnel procedures for the handling of the explosive materials. In Milner, the court reined in Exemption 2. As the court wrote, Low-2 is all of 2, and Hi-2 is not 2 at all. The court reined in Exemption 2 to its textual foundation in personnel rules and practices, that is to say, human relations materials, or just the low-2 stuff. Explosives data and the maps that Milner wanted were clearly not human relations materials. Justice Kagan, writing for the court, said that that material dealt with the governance of explosives, not the governance of sailors. It wasn't maintained by a personnel office, and it wasn't used in hiring or valuation or to determine compensation or benefits. Significantly, the court, looking to the spirit of the Freedom of Information Act, employed the broad construction rule of statutory interpretation, as well as its flip side companion, the narrow construction rule of FOIA exemptions. The purpose of the FOIA is for citizens to find out what government is up to, and Milner's request would further that broad goal. Exemption 2 was read narrowly, which is to say it was confined to its text and confined to Low 2. The only way to adopt the government's interpretation of Hi-2 exemption, the court wrote, would be to take a pen to the statute, and the court was not willing to do that. One justice might have been willing to do that. In dissent, Justice Breyer wrote that he would let sleeping dogs lie. He argued that stare decisis demanded greater deference to the 30-year-old Hi-2 doctrine of Crooker. But if the doctrine was simply and plainly inconsistent with the text, Breyer's 8 colleagues opined, it can't hold up. Breyer also thought that congressional amendments to the FOIA in 1986, which modified Exemption 7E, creating an anti-circumvention provision for law enforcement records using the language of Crooker, show congressional recognition of the circumvention theory, but the court said a modification by Congress to Exemption 7E didn't necessarily say anything about what Congress thought about Exemption 2. The court did not leave the Navy bereft of remedies. The data Milner wanted might be protected by another FOIA exemption. Exemption 1 covers national security. Exemption 3 invokes other federal confidentiality laws. And Exemption 7F deals with the disclosure of law enforcement material when personal safety might be endangered. The lower courts never opined on the application of those exemptions, and Justice Alito wrote separately in Milner, in concurrence, to remind the Navy that on remand it might fairly point to Exemption 7F. That does remain to be seen. Exemption 7F usually is used to protect the identity of law enforcement personnel and investigatory files, but surely it is arguably a better fit than Exemption 2. The limitation of Exemption 2 to truly personnel matters might have implications now in other access cases. The government has, or had since September 11, 2001, successfully used Exemption 2's circumvention rationale to withhold information regarding, according to Reporters Committee examples, terrorism vulnerability assessments, the detention of U.S. citizens for Homeland Security purposes, and even email between the Homeland Security Department and the Census Bureau regarding persons who self-identified in the 2000 census as Arab. Another FOIA decision in March, on March 1, 2011, 6 days before Milner, came in Federal Communications Commission versus AT&T. FCC v. AT&T was a unanimous decision in 8-0 per Chief Justice Roberts, with Justice Kagan not participating. FCC versus AT&T dealt with Exemption 7C of the FOIA in 5 U.S.C. Section 552. Section 7C covers law enforcement records, the disclosure of which could reasonably be expected to constitute an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. FCC v. AT&T arose from an FCC Enforcement Bureau investigation of AT&T for the alleged overcharging on a technology education project. An organization called CompTel which is a trade association for some of AT&T's competitors, wanted to see what documents the AT&T had given to FCC in the enforcement process. The courts below held that individuals identified in those documents were protected by 7C, but the question was AT&T itself protected? That is, did AT&T have a right of personal privacy under Exemption 7C? The FCC had said no, but the Third Circuit disagreed and said yes. The question then was whether a corporation could be a person under Section 551 sub 2, which is the definitional provision of the Administrative Procedure Act, which is the parent statute to the Federal Freedom of Information Act. The APA does define, plainly, a person to include corporations and associations. But Exemption 7C doesn't refer to persons. It refers to personal privacy. The court wrote a shorter, just 12-page decision, which Lyle Denniston and SCOTUS blog described as 12 pages of teacher-like explanation, essentially a grammar lesson. Chief Justice Roberts said that a noun in a definitional section might, but doesn't necessarily, translate to the same meaning for its adjectival form. Justice Roberts gave the examples of the words corn and corny, which mean different things, or crab and crabbed, or crank and cranky. A person often does mean corporations, the court recognized. It means that in the Fourth Amendment context and in the double jeopardy context. But the adjectival form of personal usually does not mean a corporation. In fact, the court realized it usually means the opposite. We might refer to personal opinion or personal email in order to distinguish it from official or professional opinion or email. Even if AT&T's argument on the definition of personal were feasible, the court said rules of statutory interpretation call for application of the ordinary meaning of the statute in context. This narrower interpretation of 7C accords with the use of the word personal elsewhere in the FOIA, such as Exemption 6, which refers to personal privacy in the context of personnel and medical records. Corporations don't have personnel and medical records of their own. And also the contrary use of the word person in Exemption 4, where protected are trade secrets obtained from a person, and clearly there, person is meant to embrace corporations, consistently with the APA definition. Note that as in the Milner case on remand, AT&T is not without protections under the FOIA. Some records were properly withheld as Exemption 4 trade secrets, but AT&T sought to protect more than that in its expansive reading of Exemption 7C, and that attempt the court unanimously rejected. Chief Justice Roberts ended his opinion on a humorous note, writing that the court hopes AT&T will not take the decision personally. FCC versus AT&T is an interesting case in light of the heat the court took last term in Citizens United with regard to corporations' free speech rights in the context of campaign finance restrictions, holding that corporations do enjoy the individual right of freedom of speech. Perhaps in recognition of what might at first blush seem to be an inconsistency here in rejecting corporate liberty, the court reminded readers that FCC versus AT&T is strictly a question of statutory construction, ascertaining Congress's meaning in FOIA Exemption 7C. The court held nothing here about the constitutional right of privacy as it might be asserted by a corporation. In sum, both Milner v. Navy and FCC versus AT&T decisions were welcomed and lauded in the national community of access advocates. Access advocates, including business interests and journalists, have long been flustered with the court's willingness to interpret the FOIA arguably more in keeping with a fortune-telling approach to congressional intent than with the rules of broad and narrow construction that typically govern FOIA construction at the state level. The court's 1989 ruling in Department of Justice versus Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press rejected public access to federal criminal rap sheets in a broad reading of Exemption 7C in 1989, creating the central purpose formulation of the federal FOIA that has dogged access advocates since. In these 8-0 and 8-1 decisions, in contrast, the court's jurisprudential right, with its fondness for textualism and strict construction, united with the court's jurisprudential left and its affection for the spirit of public access, to arrive at pro-access conclusions that promise to limit the scope of two key FOIA exemptions. may be incentivized by this experience, we haven't seen the last of transparency litigation fought on the turf of strict statutory construction.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.